Welcome to a Stein Gang podcast as we talk about Midwestern State basketball with head coach John Trilli. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Be sure to tell your friends about the podcast and make your plans to be out at DL Lincoln Coliseum this winter to follow Midwestern State basketball. Midwestern State got the season started this past weekend with a win over UCCS 97-90, and then Colorado State Pueblo pulled out a 72-60 victory over the Mustangs in the second game. Midwestern State is back home November 24th, that's a Monday night, to take on Dallas Christian. But this week, Midwestern State is on the road to take on Adams State and Western Colorado in Alamosa and Gunnison, Colorado. And we'll talk about those games in just a moment, but let's kind of relive this past weekend. That was a pretty exciting opening night, a great environment at DL Lincoln Coliseum. I suspect it's a night you're going to remember for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it was a very, very special moment for me, but also for our team. You know, it's been 3.5 months that they've been working, and it's always a build-up for that opening night game. But the energy in the gym was electric. It was awesome to be back in here and just to kind of feel and experience that dome magic. And it was a back-and-forth game all night. And we just were fortunate enough to make a couple plays there down the stretch to kind of keep them at bay. But what a great college basketball game to open up the year here for us in Wichita Falls.
No doubt it created a lot of buzz about your team. What were you most impressed by in that game?
Our composure for opening night game. You know, we kind of went down early there. I think we were down 9 points in the first half, and there was no panic on anybody's face on the sideline or anything like that. And, you know, it just took a little four-minute segment and a half right there at the end, and we kind of got back into the ball game. And, you know, I talked about Antoine and his dunk that kind of got the gym energized. But honestly, it was Jordan Reed that kind of got everybody calm, especially with Orlando Horton being out. He got hurt early in the week, and so we weren't sure. He was kind of a game-time decision. And so when you lose your point guard there, and you're trying to figure it out, you know, whether it's Terrence or, you know, any of those other guys, you know, who was going to be the guy to kind of get us in the right spots on the floor. And Jordan Reed came in and did a great job of that, and he's actually the guy that made that pass to Antoine on the pitch ahead. And when you go look at the stat sheet, I think our team was plus 22 when Jordan Reed was on the floor. And so you look at his basic stats, and yeah, maybe he was only 1 for 5 or 1 for 6, I think, from the field, but our team just operated and moved better. And so for him, a guy that's been through the wars, to step up on night one was really, really big for our team. And it just allowed guys to play their natural positions. And once he kind of stepped up and gave us those good minutes, I really feel like we got settled and were able to kind of, just shift the flow of the game and the momentum towards our way.
There were a lot of great individual performances in that game. DeCannon Wesley had 8 blocks in that game. Your team had 10. He had 8 of them, and he quickly became a fan favorite here with that performance.
Yeah, he's just kind of one of those guys. He's a shot blocker, rim protector. He's got really, really long arms, and man, he made 2 or 3 high-level plays. There's one where he did a chase down block and he pinned it, and then he fell over the pad just trying to run back into the play. But those are just championship level plays that you have to have on a night to night basis. And he was huge for us night one, just protecting the rim. And we were also down another forward in Charles McClenahan. And so DeCannon stepped up in a major way on night one. And it was just great to see that for him and for our team. Just that across the board, we just kind of had that next guy up mentality out of the gate. And so I think that will really serve us well as we move forward into the season if we continue to kind of have that mentality as a team.
Mustang fans had seen Jonathan Jackson get hot from three-point range. They've seen him hit big three-pointers. They've never seen a night like he had Friday night, going 9 of 12.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the rim just for a shooter seems to get really, really big. And he had one of those nights, and so we just tried to feed the fire all night. And honestly, they kind of switched some stuff defensively on us there down the stretch in the last 6 minutes. They weren't helping off of him, and we were able to make some adjustments and use him kind of as a screener to get other guys open, and allowed Terrence Ramirez to get 1 or 2 baskets there down the stretch. So there's things that he did. He scored 31, but his ability to shoot also opened up opportunities for his teammates as well. And those are the things that you don't always see in the stat sheet. But when you have a weapon like that, man, it just helps everybody else on the floor.
Just from a basketball fan's point of view, it looked to me like you put so much energy and attention into that opening game that it was just tough to match less than 24 hours later against Colorado State Pueblo, and it just seemed like you came out a little bit flat. Is that an accurate observation, or am I way off base?
No, I think that's accurate. We didn't have the same energy and enthusiasm on Saturday, just as a team. But also the style that we play is really, really hard to play, and I don't think it's our identity yet. We're still searching and trying to make it our identity. And so these last two or three days of practice have been pretty grimy. and it's just trying to build us up for that to be our identity every single day. And the only way that you can do that is by putting them in those situations every single day so they can do it day after day. And it's just not who we are yet, but we're going to get there. You know, it's only game two, but you see what it can be, and you're really excited about the possibility of what we can be here over the course of the next month. And that's kind of what I told the guys is we don't have to play back-to-back again until December, right there before the break. So we won't be in that situation again, but we've got to start building up for it because in March, we all know you've got to go win three games in 3 days, three games in 4 days.
Right.
So you've got to have that toughness built in. We just didn't answer the bell on our first test.
I've been doing this a long time. I don't know that I've heard a coach describe a practice as grimy. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's physical. It's guys getting into each other, being irritated with one another. But, you know, that I think that's the only way sometimes that you can get better is by putting these guys into adverse situations and forcing them to find a way to get out of it and not caving in. Because that's a natural thing to do. And so you have to fight those natural feelings and instincts. And the only way that you can do that is by putting them in those situations and for them to learn how to respond the right way.
You're going to continue to play RMAC teams this week, but you go to Colorado now to take on Adams State and Western Colorado. What are the challenges you expect to see in this road trip?
You know, I think always when you go travel to Colorado, I think one of those things is always just kind of the elevation and the travel and all. It's a long bus ride. It's a long way. You're heading uphill. So I think that's always one of those things. And it's just it's going to take some toughness. It's going to take depth and rotations. And you just got to kind of be smart about, you know, how much, especially the way that we play, you're going to extend them and our defensive pressure. So you've got to kind of pick and choose your spots and kind of be timely with some of that stuff. And then obviously, man, you can't be afraid to use your depth on the bench, and you've got to trust those guys to throw them in there for quick spurts. And I think that's kind of the best way that you can attack playing out there in Colorado.
Is there any way to prepare for the elevation?
I don't really think so. It's just kind of one of those things. You've got to be tougher than your circumstances. And so you just kind of got to have that mindset. I don't really like talking about it too much to our guys. It is what it is. You just got to go out there and play your game. And you've got to be able to make plays when you're tired. So, I think, you know, we have to be locked in. We've got to be willing to play all of our guys. And, you know, they've got to be ready to answer the bell when their number's called. It's just like any other night.
Do you think it'll be more a factor in the game against Adams State, or will it have more effect on that second game?
I'm not sure if it has more of a factor in one game to the next. You know, it's just kind of one of those things that they have to feel it. And honestly, it's when you go out there, you know, maybe the first 3 or 4 minutes, that first time that they go up there and they go up and down, it kind of hits them. But then you just give them a quick blow and then you throw them back out there and their bodies get acclimated over time. It's just kind of that first blow kind of catches you by surprise. And you just can't be afraid to throw guys in and out really quick early just to kind of get them used to it. And then you just turn the page.
Were you pleased with the way you managed the minutes in the first two games?
Yeah, I was. I think we did a pretty good job of that. You know, I don't think it was perfect. I would have liked to have gotten Davion out before he got his fifth foul that first night. But, I mean, aside from that, I think we did a pretty good job of managing guys. Trying to think who else. Maybe a little bit with Jonathan Jackson. I think he played 33 and 36 minutes, so that was a little bit heavy. But he got such a hot hand that first game. I wanted to keep him in there. And on Saturday, I thought we were fine with the substitutions and the rotations. You know, I was on Saturday, we were just trying to find somebody with some energy to give us a jolt. And couldn't really find that group of five We did a better job coming out of the half, I thought, and I think we cut it to 9 there really quickly.
No, I really thought you were going to come back, to be honest with you. I thought you were going to make a run at them there. And you talked about that in the postgame show on Friday, that with your style of play, we're going to see the opponent go on 10-point runs, and we're going to see Midwestern State go on 10, 12, 14-point runs.
Yeah, we just couldn't hit that shot on Saturday. You know, we got it to 9, I think, 2 or 3 different times, and we got stops. And then we just didn't get it to 7 or 6 on the other end. I think we were like 0 for 3 or 0 for 4. We may have got an offensive rebound and then kicked it out for another 3-on-1 possession too. And, you know, I think everything shifts if you just get one of those, if you can just kind of kick that door open and get it to a 2-possession game. You know, there was a time in the second half with about 7 or 8 minutes where we cut it to 9 and we got 2 or 3 cracks at it. And if we just hit one of those, my whole thought was I was going to call a timeout, you know, and bring the guys back in, and we just didn't make that play, and then they finally scored on the other end and got it back to 11. But I was hoping we could kick that door in, and then I can get them back in here with some energy and some enthusiasm. But, you know, the ball just didn't bounce our way on Saturday, and it's a credit to CSU Pueblo, man. They were the tougher team. They came out with more excitement on Saturday, and so it's a lesson that we had to learn, and we're lucky. I'd rather learn it early than late and see if we can respond the next time we're in that situation.
Was there anything about the game day experience as a head coach that was different than maybe you expected?
No, I felt like it was all the same. I think the biggest thing was just it was such a long waiting game and a buildup, you know, for that first one. But once you kind of get into the mode, you know, you just kind of hit your routine, and it doesn't feel too much different than anything we've done, you know, in the past. And so you just kind of get into your flow for game day, and you know, when the buzzer rings, it's time to go throw the ball up and go compete.
Well, I think one of the things that might have, probably not the people that are closest to you, but just from casual observers of Midwestern State basketball, were probably surprised by the energy you displayed on the bench as a head coach, which was fun. As just a, you know, as a guy that bought a ticket to see the game, it was fun to watch you as well.
Yeah. You know, I've been fortunate to coach under some guys that were really, really good. And it started with, you know, Coach Ray brought me here. And he was always a very energetic and enthusiastic guy. And he's really upbeat and optimistic. And, you know, kind of filtered over to Coach McCaslin. If you've ever seen him play, he's about as fiery as they come. Yep. And, you know, Coach Beard out at Ole Miss, he's another guy that if you watch him, he's got energy and he's got enthusiasm on the sideline. And then you could just go on and on. Joe Golding, Brett Tanner, Coach Bauman at Odessa Junior College. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's the same way. And so it's really the only thing that I've ever seen from any of my superiors in college athletics. And so I really don't know any other way, but I know it is a little bit of a surprise. My niece was actually scared of me after the game because she hadn't seen that side. I'm usually a little more reserved, you know, around the house. But when that ball gets going, you've got to have a fire, and I've got a passion and a love for this game, and, you know, hopefully that you can see that, you know, when we compete as well, and hopefully those guys feed off of me as well.
I was going to say, I think it's probably infectious. It probably runs through your staff and through your team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and as a leader of the program, you know, I've got to set the standard, and so if I don't have energy and enthusiasm, then how can I hold them to that same expectation?
Tell you what, we had a really enthusiastic crowd on Friday night. I hope we get a lot more nights like we had here Friday night, because that was a lot of fun. And we want to see you have some success on the road this weekend as well.
All right, you got to go get the first one if you want to go
2-0. Yeah, there's John Trilley joining us on the Stang Gang podcast. He'll be with us throughout the season each and every week. We appreciate you checking out the podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast. And, again, be sure to make your plans to be out at DL Ligon Coliseum and see this exciting brand of basketball that John Trilley's brought to Midwestern State. I'm Pete Stein. So long.